Shuffleboard was such a complex and fascinating game.
Jonathan Ross, online, on digital, and on 88 to 91 FM, BBC Radio 2.
Hey, we've been joined by Alex Winter and Lee Majors. Good morning to both of you gentlemen.
Morning.
Great to have you here. Now, can you clear up a few things about the Ben 10 scenario for us? Because we're not as knowledgeable as we should be.
No.
I was saying, I know he's a boy, I know he can adopt alien guys.
Yeah.
The 10, he's 10 years old or he can become 10 different aliens?
All of the above.
Both of those?
Yeah. you want to tick as many boxes
right
as
then.
You can.
Wow, 10. So there you go. So Ben is 10 and Ben can become 10.
And his name is Tennyson. Put that in your pipe and smoke.
That's enough 10. That's enough 10 related material, I feel.
Yes, yeah.
How nice to have you up here. So this is a movie that you've directed, and Lee is starring in, alongside you're not playing Ben 10, of course, Lee, I would have thought.
No, but when Alex sent me the script, I got all excited about reading it. I wasn't familiar with the cartoon, but when I read the script and went in, I was very disappointed because I thought I was playing Ben.
Yeah, yeah, you see, I would have put you as Ben.
I saw myself right as Ben, and then all of a sudden he said, no, you're Grandpa.
Look, Lee, if they can give Ray Winston a six-pack in Beowulf with CGI, they can shave, what, about 5 or 70 years off you and get you down to 10 again? That could be done, couldn't
just
it, Alex?
Just a switch of an anometer.
Yeah, exactly.
After the third 72-hour day in a row, I think you were happy you weren't playing Ben.
Yeah, because Ben, presumably, has to get amongst it all the time, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he said to the kid who was, you know, bloodshot-eyed and having shot day after day, he said, well, that'll learn you to do a script with your name in the title. I learned that years ago. Never take a script with your name in the title.
Do you miss acting, Alex? Because the Bill and Ted movies I loved, and you were, you know, you were tremendous in them, I think. I really enjoyed those films, but I know you want to direct, you do direct, that's what you do now in your life, but is there part of you that misses acting?
Not so much. I mean, I'll jump in. I'm living in L.A. these days. I'll jump in from time to time for fun, but I'd much prefer being behind the camera.
So a little guest slot here or there?
Yeah.
And
why
is that? Control or just to be more creative?
No, you can. I mean, you know, you don't have any more control when you're directing. You have more bosses when you're directing.
You're a traffic cop.
That's right, exactly.
But at the same time, I guess, you know, I know you're looking around for projects that you can take on, but at the same time, you have a degree more control than being an actor, I would have thought, because an actor, you're waiting for that part. First of all, you have to be offered it, then you have to audition, you have to get it, you know, whereas if you develop something as a director and you get it off the ground, then that's yours and you can stay with it.
Yeah, to some degree, that's true, but you do have a lot of bosses, and I mean, it was an audition process in a way for directing, too, getting the money and all that stuff, but they're just different disciplines. I like directing more than acting.
Lee was on your list, I guess, from day one to be in the
film. He was, yeah. In fact, he was the only person on my list from day one. I didn't have a good line on 10-year-old actors at the time.
Well, I'm pleased to hear that.
That's right, thank you.
I'm relieved to hear that.
The police are waiting outside.
You know, I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know I was number one.
Yeah.
I would have held out for some money. Oops. I didn't even get paid.
Yeah, I'll call legal when we leave.
So you've been a fan of Lee for a while.
I have, yeah. In fact, I told Lee a true story. My funny nose that I have got broken by my brother. We used to play a $6 million man like every day, but we'd get into massive fights over who would get to play Steve Austin, who would play Oscar.
Yeah, who wants to play Oscar?
Yeah, well, I didn't, and my brother was 4 years older than me, so now I have a broken nose.
So you were Oscar with a broken nose.
Oh, exactly. That's well done.
Where is Oscar? What was the name of the actor who played Oscar Lee?
Richard Anderson.
Is he still with us, do you know?
Yes, he is. I just went to his 81st birthday a month ago.
Is he still bitter?
He looks exactly the same.
Is he still bitter that he didn't get to play Steve Austin?
He's probably got a broken nose.
He actually wanted to be the Bionic Woman.
didn't we all? Didn't we all? Hey, they've brought that back with some degree of success, I believe, in America right now, the Bionic Woman. That's back on. Have you seen that show?
I haven't actually seen it. But I must say, I didn't care for it. I don't think it's going to last long because it's too sci-fi, too
pretty dark, right?
Too dark and too heavy. And the actress is not quite warm enough. You know,
you think she's not quite. She's a British actress, so be very careful what you say. Or she'll be
I understand that, but there's a certain charm that
Lindsay had
a warmth that got through. And this girl is just kick butt. And
that's the nature of TV now, I guess, if they're making that kind of thing. Yeah. But they were great shows because, of course, they had a science fiction element. But they were kind of about the people, weren't they? It was more every week. It was a short human story every week. Rather like the Hulk series was as well, and even Kung Fu at the time. The story was really about something else, and you had that as the little added bonus, didn't you? Yeah, the special effects thing. That must be the thing that people most remember for you for, I guess, and talk to you the most about when they meet you.
Well, even though, believe it or not, I've done about 7 series, and the first thing they bring up is Steve Austin.
Of course.
And after that, I went into The Fall Guy.
I remember The Fall Guy.
For 5 years, hoping that would get me away from that. And after 5 years, I got so burned out with that one, I quit. I didn't want to go on with that one. And still to this day, it's Steve Austin.
Yeah, Steve Austin is the one. But I was going to ask you about The Fall Guy next. do people mix your crew up with William Shatner's crew, do you think? Does that ever happen?
I'm sorry?
Because this morning I was thinking he's coming in. I said, now, I must remember to ask him about the Fall Guy, not TJ Hooker. You know, there's right. that kind of, because there were shows about the same time. He was in a big sci-fi show and then he went yeah. up to be a cop. You in the
No,
thing,
I hope they don't. I'm mistaken. if you've seen Bill Shatner lately. No, Bill's
a friend. He is
Bill's
a fine figure of a man.
He's a fine figure. He's a great guy. He's a friend of mine. He's wonderful.
You're listening to the Jonathan Ross podcast from BBC Radio 2.
I'm here with Alex Winter and Lee Majors. They've been joined together to make a movie. Ostensibly for the kids, but people of my age, I'm sure, will love it just as much. It's called Ben 10. It's on the Cartoon Network this Monday, and I guess they'll keep showing it then, do they?
Absolutely.
Okay, what are you doing next, Alex? You know what your next project will be?
I'm working on a movie right now, a political satire about foreign aid workers in Africa that I'm looking to shoot next year.
Oh, that sounds a bit heavy.
It's actually not. It's quite light.
Well, I should hope so. Keep the jokes coming. That's what we want to see. That's what the world needs right now.
And I'm doing some more stuff over at Cartoon Network right now, as I love doing stuff with kids in LA.
So. Yeah. And they're live action, or you don't do animation yourself, do you?
Live action with the heavy CG.
Okay. The movie has Lee Majors in. That's a cause for excitement in anyone's life, I would have thought. As Lee's already pointed out, over this country, everyone loves the $6 million man. The Fall Guy was a great series as well, though. I didn't know you did that for 5 years. That's a long old haul, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, if you know, Big Valley, I started in the 60s. So you go from Big Valley, and I did a couple in between, $6 million and Fall Guy. Those three series particularly all ran 5 years or more.
Yeah, and they
so
were.
So if you're looking at 15 years right there or more, so.
It's a big chunk
of
your
action.
Yeah.
I can barely walk today.
You must have been exhausted, because you were flinging yourself. Because the Fall Guy, you were jumping out of planes and rolling over cars.
But I had the most fun doing that show.
Yeah, really? That was the most fun.
It was the most fun.
More fun than the $6 million man, then?
Oh, definitely.
We don't like it.
We were dealing with too much hardware in $6 mil.
It was hardly the most sophisticated hardware.
I was running my butt off. That's what I was doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you thought I was going in slow motion, but I was really running hard.
Am I right in thinking that you jumped over a fence every week? You always seem to be jumping over fences.
Yeah.
There was always a scene where there was like a chain fence and there you were jumping down it.
Yeah.
They could have just used the same shot, couldn't they?
But, you know, it took a while to learn how to do all that stuff. I mean, you know, they instead of jumping up to the roof, you start up the roof and you jump off and you look up. It's very difficult to do, to know when the mat's coming up.
Right.
You must have. Did you injure yourself at all doing that?
Oh, yeah. Tremendous times.
Okay, let's have a story now. On our behalf, what was the greatest suffering you endured to bring the $6 million
down? Really quickly, as far as doing stunt work stuff. I remember on the pilot, we had these couple of special effects guys that weren't very good. They were called Inky and Dinky or something.
they sound like pros.
they were so old, but they knew everything. And I was in a little cell in the desert to break out this general that they'd captured. And I do this thing where I get back against the wall and take a huge run and drop kick the door down.
Yeah, I remember
that. I did that, and they didn't take the hinges off. And, you know, it's like you hit the wall and it springs all the way back.
Well, especially you expect him to go down, so therefore you threw yourself into that, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was like an accordion.
Wow. He was actually three inches taller when he started shooting that day than when he went
up. They were always doing stuff.
Did you get were you hospitalized ever as a result of that or the Fall Guy?
Just cuts and bruises.
So nothing too major, thank you.
And then they would set the effects off. Okay, run across this field. We're going to set this effects off when you're 10 yards from it. Naturally, I'd be right on top of it.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Because health and safety wasn't quite the issue that is today.
No. Let's get the shot. I do remember, real quick, when I was doing Big Valley, I did a stunt. I took the girl off the horse, dove and saved her life, took her off from being shot, off my horse, over her horse, landed on the ground with a stunt girl. They put Linda Evans in, and all I have to do, it's a close-up, is cover her with, you know, with my body to protect her. And nobody tells her they're going to fire a gunshot. The director fires this gunshot. She raises her head, breaks my nose. And the next thing I hear is the director saying, let's get his close-up before it swells.
Was that David Lean? Who was it?
Yeah. But that's a real professional there. Yeah, he's broken his nose. Quick, we got to move fast, guys. You worked with many. You mentioned Linda Evans there, but many of the greats, or that we consider the greats now, I guess at the time they were just contemporaries of yours. Who do you remember working with most fondly? Who are the people you enjoyed working with back? Not necessarily in your shows, but in the early days of your career, Lee?
Well, the first, this goes way back. The first piece of film I ever did was I played Joan Crawford's husband.
Wow.
It was a black and white film. Wow. William Castle.
Was it sound?
It was called Straight Jacket.
I remember Straight Jacket. Of course you're in Straight Jacket.
Well, my hometown in Kentucky, they put on the marquee starring Lee Majors in Straitjacket, also starring Joan Crawford. Everybody in the, from the Hills came down to see this thing in this little theater, one theater they had, and they got seated, and my, she chopped my head off with an axe. I was dead before the credits came on. So that was my first.
So you got a bad review in Kentucky.
Then my opening, my big debut film was starring, you know, Lee Majors, was with Charlton Heston.
Oh, man.
And that was called Will Penny. It's probably the best movie he ever made, the Great Western. It was. He was huh.
He was
wonderful.
He was great in that, yeah. Although Ben Hur's not a bad movie, let's
loved,
be honest.
I loved working with Robert Mitchum.
Wow, so these are the
was,
real...
He was kind of a
And
crazy
so Mitchum
guy.
Seems like a very cool character. He seemed like someone who I can't imagine he bought
he was,
into...
He was just a loose scary, a loose cannon.
Yeah. Now, he used to like smoking the medicinal herbal cigarettes, I believe.
That's true.
Was that prevalent when you were on the set? Did you ever catch him...
No, vodka at 5 o'clock was.
The legal alternative.
I bet you I did William Wyler's last film.
Which one was that?
It was called The Liberation of L.B. Jones. But Roscoe Lee Brown and... a couple of wonderful actors were in it. But I remember doing a scene with Wyler. I was with Lee J. Cobb. We walk into this office and we talk and talk and talk. And Wyler's sitting there in this little chair. But he has a wheezing. He has emphysema so bad that you hear him while you're acting. And he can't hear, so he has a little thing in his ear that's plugged into the wires that goes to the sound boom.
Yeah.
So he's sitting there, and then you come in and you're doing your scene. It's a long scene, and finally he'll say, cut, do it again. After about 5 or 6 of those, he never says anything either. Never gives you any tip on what to do. So we're doing the same thing, it seems like. And every now and then, out of the corner of your eye, though, you'd see him reach to his ear and pull out the thing and put it in a little box on his chair. But he wouldn't say cut. So you knew you're doing it for nothing because he couldn't hear it anyway. But after like 20 takes, he would turn and say, okay, print 3, 8... 15. I think he was just guessing. So,
yeah. Let me ask you about Joan Crawford briefly, because, you know, she's sadly no longer with us. But was she a tall person? Was she glamorous in the fashion? Was she...
Crawford?
Was she difficult to work with? Was she easy to work with?
She was a little taller than Stanwyck.
All right, so...
Barbara Stanwyck in the Big Valley.
So she wasn't that big then? They were kind of... Cause,
no,
you know,
back then, both of those ladies were small. Stanwyck, I could put my hands around and reach the fingers.
Yeah, because people...
Around the waist.
And what was she like in the flesh? Was she... because
well,
she was getting on
Crawford,
then, of course,
when we shot that movie, she had to have the stage at like 48 degrees. I think it's so her makeup wouldn't run.
Yeah.
So. And then she was married to this guy who owned Pepsi Cola. And
so she'd done okay for herself then.
They had a Pepsi Cola machine on the thing, and you still had to pay a quarter to get a Pepsi.
There you go, looking after the pennies.
Yeah,
what a great number of experiences you've had, though. Great people to work with.
Well, great friends. You know, I live next door to... Rod Steiger. Had some wonderful stories about Rod, and I used to hang out with McQueen, especially the last year of his death.
Was that when he was living in the kind of aircraft hangar?
Yes. Well, he that's where he stored all of his... he had about 200-300 Indian motorcycles.
Wow.
Most fabulous collection ever. And he did... excuse me. He did have this wonderful mail plane. I was there the first time he flew it solo. He put his little... goggles on and his little leather cap and took off with this thing. And when he landed, we had a beer, and it was a wonderful day for him.
Wow, that's fantastic.
But most of the people, McQueen and Newman and, like I say, a lot more.
You know, it's a golden age in many ways, but, you know, I can't help but think, and I've met many of the stars today, and there's some lovely people, some hugely talented people, but it doesn't seem the same. I don't know why that is. Maybe people don't have the same life experiences before they get to that stage in their life, or maybe life isn't so tough outside, so that when they do, you know, people seem to find it easier to get into movies. But there was something about those characters, those individuals. They had a grittiness or something else. Am I right, or do you think I'm just... is this nostalgia, or is this me sort of being romantic about something unnecessary?
They seem to me bigger than life. I mean, they were warm people. John Wayne and I flew to Australia together.
Hang on a second. I just want to relish the beginning of that sentence. John Wayne and I flew to Australia. How many people
well,
can say
actually,
that?
Actually, I would say the Duke.
The Duke and I flew to Australia.
We went to Australia to get to do the... we were hosting the awards there. I forget the name of what their awards are, the awards show, but it was the first time in color.
I think they called the Ruse or something.
It was the first time in color. That was many years ago, but I remember getting on the plane with him, and I was at the time married to Farrah Fawcett, and his wife Pilar was there, so they sat on each side, and he... pulled me in together with him in the middle section, and then he opened up this bottle of tequila,
yeah.
which he commenced to drink the entire way. What a guy.
Yeah, that's the way to fly. If you've got a long flight to Australia, do it the way the Duke did. Radio 2! Hey, before we get the fellas out, let me just...